your feet and pray I can find the sermon. All right, hold your Bibles up. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what the Word says I can do. It's the living seed of God living in me, and I'll never be the same. Never, never, never will I be the same. God increase, pastor decrease. Give us ears to hear what God has to say. I'm going to walk with power, not let the loss get left. Amen. You guys may be seated. There it was. What's happening? All right. If you guys saw on the last video from Wednesday where the pixels looked off, it was not. I was not about to come through the screen, but I did something Justice told me not to do. One, I don't like my kids telling me what to do, but I wore a greenish shirt. When you have a green back, there you go, Steve. Thanks a lot, Steve. When you have a green background and then you wear a green shirt, when you move back and forth, which for some reason I got crazy excited about that sermon. I was like, ah! And I kept coming forward, and it looked like I was either disappearing or I was going to come through your screen. Right? Either one, that's a crazy look. So I know not to do that again. I think Justice just shook his head about the whole thing about, we're trying to teach you, Dad. You know, I can only do so much. But with your disobedience, I can't help you. It's like that. And so I know. I'm 19 and you're a bunch of more years, but do better, Dad. Do better. All right. So promised land or problem man. The reward is an opportunity to seek God. Now listen, the reward is seeking God. Hebrews 11:6, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, right? And so many times the way we live our lives by arriving. We don't like the search. For you shoppers out there. Now I'm not letting it go. We always like to just, well, when is the journey going to end? And God is like, when you journey with me, your journey is a blessing. He rewards the journey. Marriage is a journey, okay? Not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a nice, running, cool marathon that you get to run together. And diligently, the reward is in diligently seeking how to be a blessing to one another. Right. And then as you've been married, like we've been married for 30 years, I have to be careful about what I say out loud around Pastor Rita if I have a need, because she's going to go get it. Right. Because sometimes I'll just be talking. And then it'll show up. And then I have to go back and go, I didn't mean for you to get it. Then if you didn't mean for you to get it, then the Bible says that you'll have whatsoever you say. Mark 11:23. So it's tough when you're in a house with people that know the Bible. Right? The biblical folks saying, okay, I'm just trying to help you live fulfilling the word of God. That when she means bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, it's a promised land, not a problem. And that's the part of us in our relationships, in our marriages, that it is, am I in a promise or am I in a problem? Now, in your promise, you'll have problems, right? But if you have a problem, then you may not ever make it to the promise, which means you have to deal with your problem with your promise, right? I promise to be with you through sickness and in, right, through rich or... I'm giving you the bad words, right? I'm making you say the bad words, right? Right? To obey and all this stuff. So we've seen some ceremonies where the one of the people won't say obey in a ceremony. They won't say it, right? And they think that they are saying no to me. They're saying no to the Bible, right? It ain't me and the dude making that up. That's the Bible. So if you're saying no to Jesus, you got more than a vow situation. Like, you got more. You breaking up with God? How am I going to keep you? Who did she date last? Jesus? And she let him go? Like, wait. There ain't no way in the world I'm going to be able to keep her. He raised people from the dead. He couldn't resurrect that. And so one of the things we want to do is, like, when the word speaks it, don't credit man with the word. It's credited to God. Even when it's correction and direction. Let me say it for you. Amen. Amen. Right? It's some tough verses in there. Matthew 5, if you read the whole chapter, the whole thing, you got to get beyond the Beatitudes. And then get down there in them 40s, verse 40s, when it's talking about love your enemies. I know, Paula, I used to do the same thing in ministry school. Like, read it again. Say it again. Bless those who curse you. That can't be right. That can't be. It's a misprint. There's got to be a misprint. Somebody cuss you out. Man, let me give you $20. You pronounce all of them just right. Render good for evil. Wait, what? And honestly, we've been doing it. It's just there are certain times we don't want to do it for certain people. You know what I mean? We've been doing it. Like, we will put up with some stuff from some people, some stuff. But then certain people, we won't put up with the smallest thing. And that's a problem. When God has given you the promise to be there for one another. Right? And one of the statements I have to get out of my head, which is a struggle for me, I have to quit saying things like, that's worth going to jail for. That's worth dying. I have to quit saying that. Because when that happened, like, you hit my wife. It's okay to go to jail for that. Like that's a good alibi for me to not stop hitting you. Till you stop breathing. You know what I mean? Like, and I have to stop that because, all right, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak and the body will act. And so I want to make it to the promised land, not the problem. Right? So there's verses with this. Listen, talk about an hors d'oeuvre. My goodness. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1 through 7, it says, then the whole congregation lifted up their voices and cried out. That night the people wept. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, if only we had died in the wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and children will become plunder. Would it not have been better for us to go back to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down before the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to the whole congregation of Israel, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good land. God showed you something good. On the way, things came up against you. In this world, you'll have tribulations. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In this world, you'll have problems, but there's still the promise is better than the problem. These were the children of Israel. These were the folks that when you saw the movie, The Ten Commandments, way back with Charlton Heston, right? You saw that? These are them folks who were enslaved for 400 years. Sound familiar? They were saying we would be better off going back to be slaves. Our children would have been better off instead of dying out here headed toward the will of God. I'd rather die doing the will of God than go back to the will of man. Ah, what? Why in the world would I want to go back? If I die doing God's will, I'm good. I'm good. I don't want to go back. Man, it was much more fun when I was almost getting DWIs. It was much more fun when I didn't love anyone. It was much more fun when I was always plotting to do the wrong thing. No, it wasn't. They included their children. Listen, the fight that you were born to fight today, if you don't fight it, your children will have to fight it later. We call them generational curses. I'm jumping way beyond the notes. So if I sent you the notes, this is completely out of order than the way I wrote it. But I'm going to say it now because I need to get there, right? Because Deuteronomy 30, 19, and 20 says, I set before you this day blessings and cursing, life and death, that both you and your seed may... No, it's actually, let me not skip this part. It says, choose life so that you and your seed may live. If I make the wrong choices, the consequences of my choices could lead to me not fighting. And the battle I don't fight, my kids will have to fight, right? So my cousin Antonio is here this morning. It's great to see him. He rode a motorcycle from Atlanta. So I'm like, that's him in the very back. And look, we ain't seen each other in years, except on Facebook, right? Thank God for social media. That's how we recognized each other. Like I think we related. No, I'm just kidding. I'm like that. They wrote, he's coming down here. And we can tell you that there's some generational things in our families because someone stepped down from the fight that they should have been standing up to, right? We talked about, hey, CJ, we talked about David, right? David, when he was supposed to be out battling the fight he was born for, he stayed back and got caught up with Bathsheba. When you're not fighting where you're supposed to be fighting, you're open to a temptation that you don't have grace to win. Right? If I don't bury my head and get into the Word of God, and y'all notice, I'm pretty sure y'all who get the email, the sermons just be coming like fast. Like, I have to slow them down. But if I don't get in that battle, that fight, if I don't get up that morning, if I don't get up at, and I know I got opportunities to sleep in, but if I don't go ahead and get up when God wakes me up, I'm missing out on a battlefield time that later on is keeping me from a temptation. Or a frustration, or a limitation. And God is saying, if you wake up and do this, you'll know how to live in your expectations. See, it all rhymes. It all goes together. And they're fighting, they're arguing, they're saying, Moses and Aaron, but who was telling Moses and Aaron to do stuff? God. So they're not fighting those men, they're going against God. And if you notice back way further down in that scripture, in that chapter, that Moses had to go pray because God, like, man, these people ain't listening. Let's just take them out. Which I'm glad it was Moses because I'd have been like, yeah, let me watch. But he said, no, God, I want to pray for these people. Right? Now, you are, listen, all of us have fallen. You all have fallen. I'm not even asking this as a question because y'all, like, I'm not going to let you frustrate me. By asking you, have you fallen? Because some of y'all are like, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. All. Okay. Now, if I fall, I will fall. It isn't the falling that hurts me. It's landing. Right? And where I land when I fall could either break me or help me bounce back. Right? So if I fall and make a mistake, and let's call it spiritual, if I fall but I land in my limitations and land in the fact that I think I'm not saved, I think I'm never going to be saved, I'm never going to get it right, I keep landing there, and I break away. Now this is the part, right? Because if I fall off this stage, depending on how I land, it's going to hurt either way. If I fall backwards, it's going to hurt. I could easily give myself a concussion, right? And it's not about the fact of the falling. Falling happens. It's landing. Do you land in the arms of God or do you land in the limitations of you? Right? Because I'm going to. I'm going. Listen. HEB is a sprint. I'm there. 6:15 every morning. I'd say to workers, man, you work every day. Like, you here every day. I'm catching sales. I'm catching a check. You are going to fall. Now, listen. a lot of us, a lot of people have been falling over and over again. Like, God, when am I going to get it right? When am I ever going to get it right? Why do I keep making the same? But let me tell you, if you're still falling, that means you haven't landed. That means you're still being caught by God. Amen. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Like I just, like a dream. You ever in a dream, you're like falling and falling. Listen, some of you feel like you're falling and falling and falling. Like, God, when am I ever going to get up? Why do I keep going back to the same old? And he's like, keep lifting you up because he's catching you. Trust fall. Will, I can trust you. Come here, Will. Come here, Will. Stand up here, Will. Stand up here, Will. You're the only one in church named Will. Will, catch me, Will. Okay, Will. Don't ever scare me like that again, Will. Do not see me falling. Will, come back, Will. Use both hands, Will, when you catch me, okay? Will, I'm going to fall again, Will. If you drop me, all of these people are watching you. Thank you, Will. I won't do it again. Listen. So my nephew, yeah, I can call my nephew to catch me, but can I call somebody else? See, there's a time the people we thought would catch us in the midst of one of our struggling times were the people that let us fall. And the people that weren't around, that came around and caught us, that came around and caught us and helped the people that had been holding us. They weren't around to watch us fall, but they were there to catch us. Listen. You are a promise. You are not a problem. You're a promise. You can't let people call you the problem when you the promise. And that's the promised land that you're headed to. This thing of generational curses is because somebody wouldn't stand up and do the fighting before. So now we have to do it now. And so our kids are walking in confidence. Psalms 37:23. Good. We're early. I'm doing good. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Everybody say good. Okay. Now, that does not mean that you are not good if you make a mistake. See, a lot of times people think, well, I can't have ordered steps if I'm having disordered behavior. And y'all know me. Y'all know I'm not licensing anybody to go out and act. You know, don't make me have to exercise that not swinging on people today. But you know that in that part when he says he delighteth in his way, not delight in getting your way, delight in being in God's way. See, a lot of times we can't be happy unless we get our way. Tanya and I are chronic arguers. We are chronic arguers. Tanya and I can argue about anything. Now, we're not going to fight, but she'll have her way. She'll say what she got to say. I'm going to say what I got to say, and she will never recognize that she's wrong. But it's okay. But she will stand with it like, Lord, deal with her. He's like, I ain't ask you to deal with her. And I mean, she'll be like, nope. And I can have all my evidence. She's going to send back her evidence. We could go for years, right? That type of thing. And the one thing I know, too, that Tanya will argue is for the rights of her family. I like people that fight back. I don't want you to roll over. I want you to fight back. I enjoy that. Growing up, that's what I like, somebody to fight me back. If I got in a fight and you just let me beat you up, I just would stop. And that's what my twin realized. Like, every time I wanted to fight, he just wouldn't fight me. One time he stuck a plate under his shirt because he knew I wasn't going to just let it go. So let's go. Because I figured if I punch you in the stomach, you know, you're gonna bend over and then you're gonna wake up, you're gonna get mad so we can fight. I wanted this interaction. I want this fellowship. Tony stuck a plate on there and he walked by like no big deal. And I reached back and just, and they had to give me a bunch of ice. And my mom was like, why were you punching him again? I said, if I tell you, you won't believe it. Just try me. Because he wouldn't fight me back. She goes, I bet that throbbing in your hand fighting you back right now, huh? So a lot of times with the enemy, quit fighting the devil. It ain't about, people like, it's a battle between God and devil. No, it ain't. The devil's defeated. In fact, he has to fight Michael. He can't even get to fight God. He can't even get a battle with the champ. Right? He can't even get in that fight. He can't even do it. He's okay. You got to go fight Michael. What? Do you? And then God will say, I got Paula that can fight you, devil. Right? I got, come on, man. You? You got no right. You ain't got no access to the throne. Yeah, I know, right? You don't have access. We're sitting at the right hand of Jesus. We worried about a bill? Worried about what people think about us? Remember, they treat you like an option. Leave them like a choice. Bounce. Again, and even with church people, we struggle with this, right? Because some of us still got thank you cards from years ago. Well, my kid gave it to me. It's old. Throw it away. I'm sorry, Vanessa. I'm sorry. Christian t-shirts can't fit if you put it on there. In fact, the material's so old, if you try to drag it up, it'll come apart. It's a God t-shirt. I can't give it up. Give it away. Take that to the good and will. All right? Anybody? And again, I'm not going to ask you this because y'all won't tell the truth. Old t-shirts. I found them. Oh, but it's a Jesus t-shirt. It's a church we got from camp. I have a Youth on Fire t-shirt. When we were youth pastors in the 90s, I think the Holy Spirit is still on it. We hang on to old things. The Bible says old things have passed away. We're new creatures in Christ. So God's power working in us when we take the steps he ordered will strengthen us to rise whenever there is a fall in our life, right? So it says, though he fall, he will not utterly be cast down. Though he, which means he's going to, but you won't be utterly cast down. The sin is staying down after you fall. Instead of just, God, I repent, I'm getting back up. But I'll look like a hypocrite. You only look like a hypocrite if you stay down and not trust the God of forgiveness. God's forgiveness is greater than your limitations as a human being. Now, again, don't go over here and say, my pastor said I can sin as long as I bounce back. That's staying fallen when you think like that. That's not getting back up. I don't have to love my spouse. I don't have to show love to them because the Lord is my shepherd. And they should not walk. You know how people be changing scriptures, man. When order steps are not taken, they make the problem bigger than the promise. Don't ever make your problem bigger than God's promises. Don't ever make your enemy greater than your God. The steps are what reveal promise and the acceptable will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, for this may be the acceptable year of the Lord. Yeah, some people say New Year's resolution. This is mine. The acceptable year of the Lord. Accept our marriage, God. Accept our relationship, God. Accept my children, God. Accept my mind, my will, my emotions. Accept them, Lord God. Accept my attitude. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Quit looking in the mirror and not accepting yourself and mad when people leave you. When you won't take you. It says, in order to be friendly, you must first show yourself friendly. Right? The relationship picks up. So you look at this. He called us to be these people. Stay in God's order and the fall will not make you fall always, meaning the promise outweighs the problem. You won't stay down there because you know you got a promise to get to. So imagine if you miss lunch. You don't go, well, I'm hungry, so I'm just going to stay hungry all day. Nobody does that. Mm-mm. like you miss lunch or breakfast and you get to that next one, if you can wait between snacks, you go ahead and eat. The next time you have a shortcoming, a fall, be hunting the next service to God. Just hunger for it. Quit acting like you don't want it. I just don't feel like I deserve it. I'm just gonna close my mouth. I ain't gonna let God speak to me anymore. I don't want you to talk to me because I'm not worthy. Don't eat then. Don't eat till you feel worthy. I saw y'all during the fast. I guarantee you that'll change your heart. Don't eat till you feel worthy. I bet you'll bounce back right away. This is why fasting and prayer needs to include missing food. Because it has a natural ministry to how the physical body reacts. Day 7 of just water, y'all, you could have fed me anything. I'd have told you. I'd have paid $1,000 for it. When the scripture is there, and he says, if you hunger, come to me and I'll feed you. If you thirst, come to me and I'll give you drink. And he's saying that because I want you to know you're never dry to me. You're never without to me. I'm your God. You're my people. I'm going to give to you. And so that's why he's saying, if you fall, get back up. I died, was in the ground for 3 days. I got back up. Don't stay down there. Get up. Even if the whole world saw you fall, don't you quit preaching. Right? So it's one thing to, and I've said this before, but it's one thing to grieve the Holy Spirit. That's a mistake. But the worst thing is when you quench him by not getting back up. And God's like, you can get up. You're like, no, God, not me. And you quench the Holy Spirit from using you again. What if they call me a hypocrite? Then they'd have to look in the mirror. You get up. You get up. God wants you to stay up, right? Because it's easier to stay out of trouble than have to get out of trouble. Easier to stay up than have to get up. However, if it happens, because he put that in place, don't quench God from using you. Don't feel like God's embarrassed of you. Like God don't want to show you around town or something. Deuteronomy 1, verse 2 through 3 talks about this journey that took them 40 years was supposed to be 11 days. Talk about a family trip. Mama, ain't that the rock we saw last week? They were circling the same mountain for 40 years. And they did that because they were grumbling and complaining. If you are a grumbler or complainer, things that should be victorious in your life, or you should have gotten over, are still happening because of grumbling and complaining. And because you have a right to speak your mind, you have a right, but the will of God says speak his word, not your mind. Okay? Because anybody can speak their mind, and if it's limitations on that, that ain't going to be a long sentence, but you end up fighting the same battles over and over again. 11-day journey took 40 years. Now you go like, that's crazy. Listen, there's been hundreds of years of generational journeys and curses that have been going on because grumbling and complaining, relationship curses, right? Family curses, deaths and abuse. Because the 11-day journey was grumbled and complained about when it should have been taken initially. And now we got a chance to break that. We got a chance to break those things. And even though people say, man, that must have been crazy, think about things that have been in your own family. That attitudes or angers or fears or doubts and, you know, the same scares. And oh, that's what grandma used to be afraid of, and I'm afraid of it now. See, y'all know what the children of Israel went through. Okay, I'm glad to hear y'all with us. You know exactly what they were going through. How dare they bring us out here? We were better off being slaves. Have you lost your mind? You're next to a slave, just start slapping. Don't you ever talk again. You shut up. Go over here and sit under this juniper tree. I don't even know if it's a juniper tree out there. Like, find a cave. You want somebody beating you with a whip instead? Right? I believe, and I said this before, you're like your app on your phone, and when you get songs on your phone and they tell you, like, are you about to purchase a song, and they say you already bought that one? You ever had that happen? They go, oh, you bought this before. You got it. We should have an app for relationships. And when they go back to it, uh-uh. You bought that one before. That whole album is bad. Just, uh-uh. You had, that one's in the list. Uh-uh, that's in the library. No. Don't go back to that one. That's the same old song. And so that helps us. But God has got ordered steps for you, not just for me. Because a lot of times people think, well, it's just for the pastor. No, you are the priest of your household. I can't just walk in your house. Not without, you know, you welcome. I ain't going to just walk up in there, especially. Anyway, I can't walk in your house. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. It says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was proclaimed among you by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. Listen, that verse right there, circle it, highlight it, whatever. God is not saying no to you being victorious. Never is he saying that. He's not saying no to you being victorious. Now, you may not like the route that he knows that's going to bring victory to you, but he ain't saying no to you being victorious. God, you just don't want me to be happy. I know what you need to be happy, and I know what it's going to take to get there. So I'm saying yes to your happiness, which may come by way of you forgiving and submitting and giving up your flesh. I'm not saying no to you being happy. I'm just going to say yes to you being holy. Right? Those are our good ones. Okay, so glad y'all like that. Listen to verse 20. For all the promises of God are yes. Yes. Remember we always say all the promises of God are yes and amen. We skip over all. Listen at the middle parts. Yes in Christ. Because sometimes people want to call out promises, but they don't want to be in Christ. They just want to get the promises. The yes only if we're in Christ. And so through him, our amen is spoken to the glory of God. Now it is God who establishes both us and you in Christ. He anointed us, placed his seal on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a pledge of what is to come. Now listen, if you go through enough hard times, and we always talk about a verse in Proverbs, I believe it's Proverbs 13:12, that says, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. It's unrelenting disappointments, and every time I get up, I get down, and every time something, I think it's going my way, something bad happens, and now I'm starting to look for something bad, even if something good is going on. And he says that, he's telling you that listen, you are not sealed as a problem, you're sealed as a promise. You are sealed with good. And there takes some things, like I read up on all these things because I have so much fruit in my house. Now again, we're not crazy people, but I have a completely separate refrigerator in the house. There is the regular big refrigerator in the house, and there's another one, and then there's another little refrigerator, and then there's another little refrigerator. But I don't have, there's nothing wrong with me. Like, I've been tested. But in my other little refrigerator, there's all the fruits and vegetables that I keep in there for the juice. And then I have to put some of it in a big refrigerator. And then I come up and I find these ways to how to preserve the fruit to make it last longer and to keep it clean. And some of that, it's always like bacon soda and white vinegar. You know what I like the most about it? I like to hear it sizzle. That's, I enjoy it. Oh, it's cleaning it now. It's sizzling. Whatever pesticide they sprayed on it, it's sizzling right off. How crazy is that, right? Crazy that I don't get to eat the fruit before I make the juice. Have to clean it. Now, you're not going to be fruitful in anybody's life without a good cleaning. And what may be sizzling in your life is not that the devil's winning, it's just that God is cleaning. That's the baking powder. That's the vinegar wine. That's the white vinegar. And you feel like, man, everything's coming against you. No, you're being clean because, first of all, maybe it's just for your kids to be able to take a bite off of you so they can make it through what they're going through. Or your spouse to take a bite off you so they can make it through what they're going through. And you got to be ripe for this moment. You may be the one getting washed for the rest of the family. Now they can't do it on their own, but you got to stand the cleaning. Right? One guy said that on Sunday mornings, he would be awakened, not by alarm clock, but the screaming of his sisters. Screaming. And he said, now, don't y'all think it was something bad. They were just getting a hair comb. Y'all remember? Because them things, if they roll up, and they have to be like, ah! And they would scream and holler. And what it took for them to, whenever that was done, to look in the mirror and say, man, my hair look good. And you may be screaming and holler, but God is fixing you up for a better day. He is making you better. He's making you purdy. He's getting you right. But it's going to have to comb through some things you haven't got let allowed to get tangled. You got to pull those things out. And one of the things I used to do when I figured out how to do miracles hair, I had to do it a little bit at a time. Because I would comb it. Because it was just a thing in my head that I didn't want Rita to have to Rita to go out of town and be afraid what the kid's going to look like when they was left with me. You seen the dad and the kids in the grocery store, and kids' shoes, clothes don't match, hair, and they've been with him for about 2 days. You can see that. I was not going to let anybody judge me like that. Like, my kids, we're going to fix you up. We're going to have your hair done. And you're going to look right. And I realized I had to do a little bit at a time so it didn't hurt her so much. And you're wanting God to rush something that he can only do a little bit at a time so that you don't get caught up in it again. Be patient. Let patience have a perfect work. God doesn't have a no when it comes to his promises. In fact, they are established in us by God so we can say amen to his promises. Right? So every day it's amen, which means what? So be it. All done, all well. So that means so be it. It also means trustworthy. It also means surely. It also means have a will in your life so that you can be caught when you fall. Quit hanging out with pretenders that are going to suspend their fellowship with you because you are not as good as they thought you should be. Right? Have some people around you can be real with. Have some people there. Anthony and I were, talking on the phone one time, and I was telling about some people got mad at me because I was being honest about my anger. And like, if you know how far I've come, you'd be happy for me. I mean, my neighbor who got hit with that shovel, he's glad I'm not that person anymore. I don't even care shovels anymore. I'm like, I'm good, I'm delivered. You know, the friend I threw the axe at, you know, we good. No pastor should be angry. You ain't met one then. They do. They do. I hit people playing baseball. Maybe on purpose, maybe not. But that's our plate. And if you crowd in the plate, I'm throwing you some chin music. If you got hit in the process, But they don't want you to be human, but then they don't want you to be king either. They just want you to be judged. And so you have to come back and go like, well, wait a minute, I'm following Christ. So he says, my promises are yes. And then your response to that is amen. So be it. God called me a promise. God called you blessed. Amen. So be it. Well, but I'm not, that's not what God called you. Go with what God called you. And then say, amen, that's it. My children, blessed. Amen. Let's think about how weird my kids are. Weird. They have their own style. They have their own mentality. They're weird. And I was telling my twin about it. He goes, you were weird. Don't you remember you had your own style? You remember you would break off from the group and look just weird? And he reminded me of a fashion show we had in high school. Well, I took all my, I didn't take them, but I borrowed all of my older siblings, like trench coats, and they had this stuff from living the life that they lived. And I wore them in a fashion show. He said, man, we thought something was wrong with you. Some white shoes. It was a whole bunch of stuff. And I just was changing every 6 minutes. News just come out. Run out on stage. Spin around. Run back. You were weird. So Tony was so complimentary at Jaira's wedding. He said, man, you and Rita did such a good job raising those kids. Like, I could sit and talk to Miracle all day. I could talk to Jaira all day. I could talk to Justice all day. I said, you got three kids of your own. Talk to them all day. He says, I got it, but you know that you guys have raised them right. And I'm like, okay. Were you expecting us to mess that up? Like, I don't understand. Are you being complimentary or are you just shocked? He goes, no. He says, listen, a lot of people, and what he's doing is the position you're in, because teachers and preachers, they usually are judged by their kids. Right? And usually, here's my defense to that, is that because usually they end up giving to so many other people that they don't take anything home. And their kids have to be sacrificed so they can spend time with other folks. That's my defense to that. And he was just like, no, man, they're regular, normal people. So I'm still not following you. I don't know if you expected me to have an alien or what. But he was like, they know promises. And I said, well, okay, well, I would hope so, because that's the goal. And let me tell you something. You may feel like you're not doing the best job and the perfect job, but you're doing God's will. And that takes over any other thing that may be going on in your life, is that the will of God and loving your family. And that's the best part that you can do. So it's yes and amen. Thank you for giving me this. This verse was pressed out of Paul by the evil and slander brought against him by people. Paul was filled with promise, so he told them about God's yes and not his current situation. What a blueprint to have. We should go about knowing the promises of God. They will keep our conversations forward toward what God says yes to and not what man says no to. In the ancient world, a seal was used to identify and to protect. If something was sealed, everyone knew who it belonged to. The seal had an insignia, and the seal prevented anyone else from tampering with the item. Listen, the Holy Spirit is our seal. And when the world tries to tamper with you, when anger or fear or doubt tries to tamper, you're like, no, ma'am, I'm sealed. Don't let anyone tamper you. Now, listen, you go to the grocery store all the time. If you know a bag of something that should be sealed, if it can open up too easily, you ain't buying that. You ain't buying that. If you turn the cap on the soda and it don't, you taking that back. You're not going to live unsealed. And you can't just let anything open you so easily to where you lose your fizz toward the things of God. And so when you're sealed by God, don't let yourself be open by the things that are happening in this world. Do not become unpackaged. Don't become undone. And that's where God is blessing us at. And when I read this, I lost it on there. And I think I rocked forward in the media room doing this one. Because I realized I've been sealed up And it ain't that people are ignoring me. They can't see me. Right? It ain't that they don't want me. It's just that God has got me packaged to be fresh for where he's taking me. And he's got me set up for that, for a better plan for where he's taking me. The Holy Spirit is upon us to identify us, to protect us. When life tries to tamper with your mind about what God can do, just let it know you've been sealed with the belief that God's promises are yes and amen. Trust me, God's promised land is worth leaving your problems, man. His promise is worth leaving your problems. Amen? Amen. She almost made it, bro. We're running. Amen? You guys bow your heads. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each and every person in the sound of my voice in this room that is saying, God, I've been walking with you, and I don't understand why things have come up, but now I get it. Now I understand, God. I understand that I am set up to walk in the very promises of God. And in that walk, that means that I'm going to be able to go through some things. I'm going to be able to go through them. And even in times where I fall, I won't be utterly cast down, because I know, Lord God, that you're there to catch me. You're there to hold me and lift me back up. And I know to turn to you and say, amen for catching me. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for saying yes to my life. Thank you, Lord God, that you're saying yes, that your promises forever lives inside of me to get up and walk completely free. Because who the Son has set free is free indeed. Now, Lord, I pray that you free us from people who may have abandoned us, left us, hurt us in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Abandon. I no longer open up my seal to be hurt by that old thing ever again. I'm fresh. I'm new. I welcome in new, healthy relationships. I welcome in the presence of God to walk by faith, not by sight, that I may glory in you and all that I say and do for all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.